the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua, and I'll be reading from Acts chapter 17, from verse 29 to 33. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because he had appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. The message we bring to you will be titled Repentance. From that verse 30, from this passage we have read, it says, "And the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent." I want you to underline the word commanded, that the Lord is commanding. It is a demand. God is not giving you and I a choice on this matter, commanding that all men everywhere to repent. What does it mean to repent? To repent means to turn from our evil ways and to turn to God. And I'd like to read Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 8 to explain what repentance means. The scriptural presentation of repentance, because scriptures, we interpret scriptures. So let's go to Isaiah 55 from verse 6 to 8. I read, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So that is repentance. Repentance is for a man, a woman, to turn, to forsake his way, and unrighteous man, his thoughts, to return to the Lord, so that God will have mercy upon him, and to our God, that he will abundantly pardon him or her. So we see there, repentance therefore means for a wicked person, a sinful person, to forsake his way, the way he's going, his way of life, his lifestyle. And then the same person is also called an unrighteous man, is forsake his thought. His thoughts meaning the source of his actions, where he takes decision from. Before we act anything out, we have thought about it. We have reasoned it. We have decided in our heart. So repentance has to touch what we do and how we think. Our thoughts, our imagination, our reasoning, our beliefs. What we believe, what makes us to do what we are doing. Our conclusions, our reasonings, our philosophies. What is this for actions, our thoughts? And let him return. And then repentance involves that once you return to the Lord, to submit to him, to yield to him, to follow his way. In that verse, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." So it's to return to the way of the Lord. I forsake my way, and I turn to the Lord to walk in his way. I forsake my thoughts, so I can follow the thoughts of the Lord, walk in his thoughts. That is repentance. That is the way we will explain repentance to you. I also want to go on to give you an example of repentance as we move on. I'd like to read from Psalm 32 so that we can also see further the issue of repentance. When we read from that Acts chapter 17, saying God is commanding every man everywhere to repent. What is this repentance? And I have to read again from Psalm 32. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile or deception. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. What we'll consider here in this passage I just read now is to say, to acknowledge. In that verse 5, it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I did not hide it. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. So we call it his sin, to confess, to acknowledge that what I have done is wrong, to say it is my sin, to say it is iniquity. That's what this writer is saying. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and it is my iniquity. I will not hide it. I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. So that is repentance, to come to the Lord, to repent, to open it up, not to hide it. That is repentance. We'll be breaking it down as we go on. I also want us to turn to Psalm 51, that popular psalm, and then also that will show us another side to repentance that we are looking at today. If you look at the same Psalm 51 verse 3, it says there, it says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. So the same thing, to acknowledge that this is my sin. This suggests that I don't blame somebody else for my sin. I don't point accusing finger to somebody for my sin. I don't say somebody who made me to do it. I accept that it's my sin. I have said that what I have done is wrong. And then you see in that first verse, say, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. In other words, here the psalmist is saying, it's only you have done this wickedness, even though it has involved me with some other human beings, but actually I have sinned against you. So sin is against the Lord. And therefore, we say again, repentance is to acknowledge what we have done wrong, to confess it, to own up before God, and to recognize that when we sin, even though it may be between us and other human beings, it is actually against God. Yes, more. We'll go on as we begin to bring this message on this issue of repentance. The next thing I also want you to note in what we have read today is that repentance is demanded, but we also warn that when there's no repentance, judgment will come. Let's go back to that book of Acts, chapter 17, that we read at the beginning. And because he said there in that verse 31, because he had appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, wherefore he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. In other words, repentance is demanded because judgment has been set. A day, a time has been appointed by God to judge all men. This scripture shows that this judgment of the world will be in righteousness. So there's a futuristic judgment waiting for anyone who will not repent. But I want to read some scriptures to show us what this judgment will be. And I want to read from Romans chapter 2. And I want to read verse 2. And I want to read verse 5, I want to read verse 6, verse 11 and 16, all this will explain. I read now verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things and act, who will not repent. So the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things and will not repent. I add that. Then let's look at verse 5 of that same chapter. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. This is for those who will not repent, those who will harden their hearts, those who will be impenitent, those who will not repent, those who will not turn. They are storing up unto themselves this day of God's judgment, the wrath of the Lord that shall come at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see there, that's judgment for those who will not repent. Then we go to verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? This judgment will be according to your deeds, what you have done, that you have failed to repent. Please bear that in mind. God is not after you, but God is saying he's giving you and I opportunity to turn, to repent, to turn from our wicked ways. And if you fail to repent, we are only preparing ourselves for a judgment. I pray that that will not be your portion. That's why this message is coming to you, so that you can find time to repent, so that God may meet with you. That's verse 6 of Romans chapter 2. And then I would like to read verse 11 of the same chapter. For there's no respect of persons with God. He's saying that this judgment will come and there will be no respect of persons with God. This judgment, God will not look at any human being. He's going to judge in that day according to his word. And he has said this judgment, and God will be no respecter of any persons. God will not look at creed, position, social status, education or not being educated, poor or rich, high or low. God is going to bring this judgment without looking at your status. What we commend you to God is repentance, that you change, that you turn to God. And then I want to read verse 16 of this same chapter. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So here again, the word here, the key word here is that this judgment is going to be to judge the secrets of men. What we are hiding today that we think is hidden and cannot be seen is seen by God. And God is going to unveil, to open it up. What we are hiding that you are not repenting of today will be known by everybody. So repentance means to deal with those secret things, to open them up to God today, to confess them to God today, like we have read. The psalmist says, I will confess, I will open up my iniquity to God. Dear listeners, this is your opportunity for us to deal with our secret sins, sins we have done in the secret, things that nobody knows about. And we think it's hidden. He says, in that day of judgment, the secret of men shall be judged by Jesus Christ. Today, we can see Jesus is our Savior, seeking that we return. But that day, he will be the judge, not the Savior. He's coming back the second time, not to be the Savior, but the judge. Today is the day of acceptance. Today is a day of salvation. You can do something about it. Why you live? The Bible says it's been appointed for a man to die once, and after this, judgment. So while you are still having your breath, it is time to repent, to return to the Lord. I also want to call your attention to something. We've talked about this judgment that is in the future, but also there's a present one. There's a present judgment if a man fails to repent. So let's go back to that Psalm 32, and you will see there what is the present condition of a man who we not repent. So let's turn back to that Psalm 32, and we'll see there. I want to read verse 3. It says, when I kept silence, that means when I refused to confess, my bones waxed old through my running all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer. So we see here the present judgment. When a man sins and he has refused, and he keeps on going on to in his sin, as not repenting, and he's not turning, and he's not finding God's ways, and turning from his own way to God's way, this is what will happen. He said, my bones wax old through my running all the day long. Here means that sin will affect your bones. Sin brings affliction to your bones. That means sicknesses and diseases. And in verse 4, it says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. When a man is at peace with God, God's hand is light upon him. God's blessing is upon him. When a man continues in his sin, the hand of the Lord will be against him. The hand of the Lord will be heavy upon him. His heart will be affected. He will not live a healthy life. That's what he's saying in this place. So that's what we call present judgment. When a man refuses to repent of his sin. Let's go back to that Psalm 51. We'll see the same thing that is being said here in this Psalm 32. We'll see the same thing that is being said as well. It says in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. We see this agrees with what we have read in Psalm 32, the issue of the bones. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. So that is a confirmation. So when a man is in sin and God is demanding from him to repent, and the man continues in his sin, in his ways, in his thought, in his wickedness, and there's no turning nor returning to the Lord, the hand of the Lord will be heavy upon him. That's why this prayer is very important here. Make me to hear joy. When a man lives in sin, he does not have the joy of the Lord. He may have happiness. Happiness that is dependent on what he has, what he possesses, and so on and so forth. His present situation. But he's talking about the joy. That's why he says, take not away the joy of salvation and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. When a man continues in sin, we see that it affects his bones. In fact, the scripture says that the sin that a man sins in his youth will go into his bones. That's where many people are sick, and that's why medically they could not even trace what is the problem. It is sin. Sin is the problem. Sin is the root of sicknesses and diseases and pains and unnecessary sorrows. And if we return and repent, it says, make me to hear joy and gladness. That's why that scripture we read, it says, for our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That suggests God does not just forgive us for what we have done. He cleanses us. But not only that we are cleansed, but God will go further to heal us of diseases, afflictions, demonic oppressions, things we are suffering as a result of our sin. Sin is a door to affliction, to oppression, to sicknesses and diseases. Many times when Jesus healed people, we say, go and sin no more. Lest greater things, greater affliction will come upon you. So listener, we are looking at the issue of repentance. We are saying God is commanding every man everywhere to repent, to return. We are shown to you what repentance means. Repentance means to turn from my wicked way, my unrighteous thoughts, and to return to the Lord, to return his ways, to return to his thought. Repentance means that I should acknowledge my sin as sin. I should not call it any other name. I should not give a different name to it, a white lie, oh, it's a sleep, or and so on and so forth. I should call it sin. I should acknowledge and make it mine. Say, I have sinned. It is my transgression. It is my iniquity. I acknowledge what I have done wrong. That is genuine and true repentance. Then turn it to the Lord so that the Lord also can turn. The scripture says when we turn to him, he also will turn to us. God is demanding repentance. Let's remember that this God that we talk about is a holy God. He paid high price for our sin. He sent his son to die. Sin is a serious issue before God. It costs only begotten son. He sent his son to die. That's why it is important that we understand God's attitude towards sin. And God demands that when we sin, it's not waiting to club us down, but it's demand that we repent. And we have shared that if we do not repent, there's a present problem, present affliction upon us. And if we continue with all that upon us, we refuse and we continue and we seek relief from drugs, from this and that without returning to God in repentance. And then he says there's a day, there's a futuristic day that he had appointed that he's going to judge iniquity and sin. And we have shown you that that judgment will be according to truth, according to righteousness, and there shall be no respect of persons in this judgment. That God will be no respect of persons in this judgment. We have shown you that this judgment will be according to truth. That this judgment will have to deal with secret things that are hidden, that have not been confessed and opened to him. And I want to say, as we close this today, I want to take you to another part of the scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Then the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That is an assurance. When a man repents, he must be converted. Converted means a change. A change from where you are. Repentance without conversion is not a true repentance. Genuine, true repentance will bring a conversion, a change. If a man says he has repented and he continues in his sin, he has not repented. He may have mouthed some words. He may have shown remorse. He may have wept. He may have been emotional about it, but he has not turned. Repentance involves turning from your heart. Turning, the turning that begins from your heart, that is going to manifest in your actions. And it says, when a man repents, and that sins will be blotted out, will be removed, will be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a man has done so, it says, then the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. A time of visitation, a time of blessing, a time of healing, a time when the Lord will visit you in his mercy. That's what we read in the scripture. So listener, I want to say to you, is it not time to repent? Is it not time to return to the Lord? And we can see from what the scripture say, and then you'll be healed. I ask you to go, to turn to the Lord. Those of you have heard me today, that you will go back to the Lord. If there is a sin in your life, if there are things you are hiding that nobody knows, God is saying he set a day to judge that secret thing. But now you can repent. And I'm saying to you, when you repent, you are not only going to be pardoned, to be forgiven, to be cleansed, but you are going to be healed. As you repent, I believe that sickness and disease, that oppression, that demonic oppression, that harassment of the enemy over your life will be over. Because God has been waiting for your repentance so that it can be favorable unto you, so he can show you compassion and he can show you mercy. I pray that the Lord will bless you. I pray that what you've heard today will be a blessing to you, that it will be a turning point for you, so that the time of refreshing and the time of blessing can come upon you. Until I come your way again next week, I ask that the Lord will bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-389-0315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-389-0315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoro Olua, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.